Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. According to the World Health Organization, 300 million people around the world suffer from depression and anxiety. In the last year, 10.3 million U.S. adults have experienced an episode that resulted in severe impairment. Many turn to prescription drugs. Some rely on alcohol. Others contemplate suicide. Dr. Christina Bjorndal, author of Beyond the Label, is here to share how to address the root cause of mental health issues and find a natural, holistic treatment. If you or somebody you know is battling depression, anxiety, or an eating disorder, stay tuned. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a doctor of naturopathic medicine. She's a sought-after expert for the treatment of mental illnesses such as depression, anxiety, bipolar disorders, and eating disorders. Having overcome many mental health challenges herself, she's on a crusade to help others achieve physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. She's the author of three books on mental health and offers a 10-week course and retreat on mind-body-spirit approach to healing. Welcome to the show, author of the book Beyond the Label, 10 Steps to Improve Your Mental Health with Naturopathic Medicine, Dr. Christina Bjorndal. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Now, before we dive into the topic, first share the meaning behind the title, Beyond the Label. What does that mean?
So what that means is I feel that when people are struggling with their mental health, initially you will get a label or a diagnosis, and then many people stay stuck in that. And I think that leaves people being a victim in their own lives versus moving forward to finding answers and solutions as to why they may have experienced whatever the label was in the first place. So that's really the message that I want people to understand is that initially that diagnosis can be helpful to couch a framework around what you might be experiencing, but then ultimately the goal is to get to the place of healing and move beyond that label.
Right. I know when people think of depression, most experts think it's a psychological trauma from childhood or something that they endured as an adult. But in your book, you share a personal story on how the heightened stress hormones from your mother when she was pregnant at just 16 may be to blame for your mental health challenges. Share how the seeds of depression can take root even before birth.
Right. So what we want to understand is that there's important neurological and emotional wiring that happens when you're in utero. So actually, the psychological state, as well as the level of stress that's happening to the birth mother, can affect the neurological imprinting in the child. And so I believe for myself that probably played a role as I was wired to be anxious to begin with from the get-go.
Yeah,
and that then... Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish up. That was interesting.
No, I was just going to say that then led me to be a certain way in the world, which was because I had developed this core belief that I wasn't wanted because of the adoption piece. I then became an overachiever in life, and that caused me to burn out basically at a very young age, and then I became depressed, and everyone labeled it as depression, and really though the root of it I think came more from the hormonal side versus the neurotransmitter side.
Yeah, you know, there's interesting research showing that even the milk from nursing mothers that are stressed can transfer negative hormones into their babies. And, you know, experts now warn mothers from breastfeeding their children when they're watching a scary movie, don't breastfeed, or if they just got bad news on the phone, take your baby away because your baby does get these hormones. So it's really, there's some basis to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, in your book, you share how you became, you mentioned an overachiever as a coping mechanism, then bulimia, severe depression, to the diagnosis of bipolar disorder. Wow. Share with us how you finally found the light during these darkest times.
So when I was in university, I did experience very debilitating depression, and then I was prescribed an antidepressant. And I took that faithfully. And then within a few months, I swung into a full-blown delusional psychotic episode. And that was, again, I did not have the benefit of the genetic history to look to my left or right. So it was very scary to go through that because we didn't know that that was a possibility. So then I was given this other label, and I did not resonate, first of all, even with depression, let alone with the label of bipolar disorder type 1. So I basically stuffed that deep down into a place that I dared not to look, and I continued forward in the world wearing the mask that everything is okay on the outside, but actually I'm not doing very well on the inside. And when I graduated, I ended up working in the corporate world, again, continued that overachieving behavior, ended up reporting to a CEO very quickly into my career in the corporate world. But I had a suicide attempt in 1994 that left me in a coma on dialysis and was told I would need a kidney transplant. Wow. And I can tell you that when I came out of that coma, again, you remember I'm an overachiever, right? And so here I have not succeeded at something. And I was very, very disappointed, obviously, that I was not, that I was still here on the planet because I did not want to be here anymore. And when I came out of that coma, I realized that, you know what, something has to give here because I just gave it a college pro try and didn't work. So maybe there's another explanation. Maybe I am here for a reason. And a friend gave me a book to read called A Return to Love. And it was in that book that I discovered some information just around surrendering and ultimately loving ourselves. And I realized that, you know, obviously I did not love myself. I did not like the label that I had been given of bipolar disorder. And I really was at war with myself. And so constantly telling myself that I wasn't good enough. I had to work harder. I had to try harder. I had to be better. And this voice in my head, this inner critic, really had just, it was the main dialogue and had been the main dialogue for, the bulk of my life. And so I realized that was the turning point for me, is that I needed to learn how to love and accept myself. And so that's been the journey since then. And it's been, it's been a long road. And now I can say that, actually, I couldn't even tell you that I had bipolar disorder. Like, I would not own up to that.
Right.
I didn't want anyone to know about that. I really lived in shame, a lot of shame and a lot of stigma that I attached to that label.
Right. And who gave you that attachment? Attachment was the medical profession, right? And then, so you lived in this, going from doctor to doctor, and then you turned to a naturopathic medicine approach, right? And then that helped you rise above and regain your mental health. Share with the listeners, what does that mean?
That's right.
The term they don't understand. So naturopathic medicine.
So naturopathic medicine is basically, we are trained the same as medical doctors in terms of the sciences. So we dissect cadavers, we study pharmacology. We just don't use drugs to treat, and for the most part. And some naturopathic doctors do have prescription rights. But ultimately, what our goal is to figure out what is the root cause. There is an explanation for what you're going through. And what we use as treatment modalities or treatment methods to support you are we look at nutrition and diet, supplementation. We look at homeopathy, herbal medicine, botanical medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and then I have training in 5 types of counseling that I incorporate. So we are really about looking at you holistically and trying to figure out what is the root cause to whatever the health concern you may have.
Right, and that makes so much sense. What type of role does our diet play when it comes to our mental health? Are there any foods you found that fuel depression that we should avoid?
Absolutely. So what we want people, so to answer your question, to avoid, the main foods I would encourage people to avoid are wheat, sugar, and dairy. Those are the top 3. These lead to inflammation and this concept of the brain on fire.
Right.
And the other important point to understand is that neurotransmitters, so the people have probably heard of serotonin, that's a neurotransmitter that your body produces, but it is made from an essential amino acid, which is called tryptophan. And the really interesting thing with me and with many people are in the same boat as I was in, is that nobody can make tryptophan. There's nobody on the planet that can make tryptophan themselves. It's an essential amino acid. So what that means, again, is you cannot make this. And what tryptophan does is it goes in the body and it gets converted into serotonin as long as you have enough niacin, because that's the first priority in the body. And also, tryptophan can get tripped to go down to make something called quinolinic acid if you are too stressed. And that was what was going on in my life. I was basically a stress case. So what we really want to understand here is neurotransmitters and hormones are made from nutritional building blocks that you get. And what happened to me was I had the eating disorder piece. I had a lot of cracks in my nutritional foundation. And when I went to see a nutritionally oriented psychiatrist, he started me on a supplement protocol to support the formation of serotonin in my body. But when I went to medical school, we had to analyze our diet. And at that time, based on the diet that I was eating, the only essential amino acid I was deficient in was tryptophan, still. And the only reason I got better was because of the nutritional supplementation that Dr. Hoffer had started me on. And that, I really want people to understand this, that yes, you can take a supplement, but we want to be using food first.
Yeah, what are some foods? I guess immediately people think of turkey, right? What are some other foods?
Right. They think of turkey. So you want to think of proteins, right? So turkey, beef, chicken, pork, absolutely. But if you're a vegetarian like I was, then you want to look at cashews, peanuts, oatmeal, avocado. So cheese has tryptophan, but as I just mentioned earlier, I'm asking people to not go for the dairy. So we're wanting to look at those are some of the sources of tryptophan. And I would like people to be aiming for 400 milligrams. So there's many food sources of tryptophan, but those are a few for you.
Those are a few. So you found, what percentage would you say is nutrition and diet from when you were diagnosed? What percentage helps? Is it an 80%, 20%? Is just loving yourself and really come to reason? Give me a percentage.
Yeah. Well, I think it's hard to give a percentage, but I would say for myself, that is the only thing I started with. I didn't even start with diet. I started with supplements. That's where the doctor started. And I got 100% improvement. And I had been struggling for 15 years. And I talk about that one suicide attempt, but there was others. So for me, it was like a night and day turnaround. And I stayed on my medication. I took the nutritional supplements and I stayed on the medication for a year. And that entire year, I felt happy for the first time in 15 years. No anxiety, no depression, nothing. And at that point, then I went and then had the conversation about what are the next steps for me in terms of the medication piece. But then I ultimately had to ask myself the question, if money didn't matter, what would I be doing with my life? Because I ultimately wasn't enjoying the career path that I was on. And I knew that I knew at that time there were many, many, many people suffering with their mental health. And the doctor that I went to see at that time was 80 years old. And I was thinking, my gosh, this can't be the only guy in a country, in our entire country, right?
Right.
So that's when I made my career change and went back to school. But I would say diet and supplementation, this is the foundation. This is the foundation of health, in my opinion. That's a great place to start.
That's great. You know, what gets me is so many millions are prescribed antidepressants, like they're multivitamins. And I had a patient who came in that has been taking antidepressant meds for 15 years. I asked her, what happened 15 years ago? Why'd you get on them? And she told me that her husband left her for another woman, hired a top lawyer that was able to take custody of their children, and it put her into deep depression. So then I asked her, how are things today? And she said, fantastic. I'm happily married. My kids have grown up. I have wonderful grandkids. So I asked the million-dollar question, why are you still taking antidepressants? Her response, I don't know, because my doctor keeps renewing my prescription. What would you estimate as a percentage of all these people out there taking them that maybe don't even need them anymore? Maybe their rough time has passed.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure there's a lot of people in that boat. And I think that's the problem, is that people have to understand that the pharmaceutical industry is just that. It's an industry and it wants to be profitable. But you want to be questioning whether you need to be taking this for life. And so especially, you know, at that time for her, really what was going on was a lot of stress.
Right.
And so we want to understand that there's three macro systems in your body. Well, first of all, there's four aspects to you, right? Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. But on that physical level, you have three macro systems. So your neurotransmitters, your hormones, and your organs of detoxification. And all three of those macro systems can result in symptoms of depression and anxiety if you have imbalances. So a lot of women get put on an antidepressant at menopause. But really, menopause is a time of a hormonal shift. So they're using the wrong hammer for the job, or the wrong tool for the job, I guess. So there's a lot of people that believe they can't get off an antidepressant as well, and that's simply not true. So
is there a way where listeners
I can go on and on forever.
Yeah. I'm wondering, is there a way listeners can tell the difference between clinical depression or just having a rough phase in their life? Are there like specific warning signs they should look for?
Yeah, one thing that you want to be mindful of is it the outside affecting the inside, i.e. the outside sort of circumstances affecting you on the inside and causing your mood to shift? Or is everything seemingly, you know, you have it all. So, you have a job you love, you have a family you love, you love your children. Everything's going great in your life, but you still feel, you just feel depressed. That is more of actually a clinical state of depression. The other, the first I mentioned where it's the outside, you know, your husband leaving you, that's more of a circumstantial situation. So yes, you feel depressed, but it's not necessarily clinical depression.
Yeah,
so it's a really fine line between the two.
That's such a good point. I like how you phrase that. I did read an article in Psychology Today a while back that said if things that used to bring you joy in your life no longer please you, this could be a sign of clinical depression, like playing with your pet, listening to your favorite music, or walking on the beach. Is that a pretty fair assessment? If just nothing brings you joy, that you may need to have that next route?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that would be great.
And I want to be clear here, too. You know, I'm not saying that I never to take an antidepressant. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, because listen, Western medicine has saved my life, but it's naturopathic medicine that has me thriving in my life. And I believe that we want to be using these medications like we would use a cast for a broken leg. So if you broke your leg, you're going to put that cast on, allow the bone to set to heal. Then you'll take that cast off and then you'll do some, you know, rehab back to, or physiotherapy back to running again. That's what we want to use these antidepressants for short-term help, to help you get back onto solid ground, so that you can then make the diet changes and work on the exercise piece and the sleep piece. I mean, I understand this, and I get that it's really, really difficult to ask people to make dietary changes when they don't feel like they want to even eat, or they don't love themselves enough because they are depressed. They don't even want to cook a meal for themselves. So you need to get people feeling better first. And if you're a 10 out of 10 depressed and ready to commit suicide, then you may need to take an antidepressant at this point, but not forever. That's the key.
You know, once you get on these drugs, sometimes you're on them permanently. It's the same with diabetic medication, high blood pressure medication. It's like, you know, once you're on, it's like keep renewing. Yep. I get so many patients. It's like, how do you know you need the blood pressure medication? That was back in a stressful time, same thing. So it makes a lot of sense. Tell us about, I want to make sure we get this, your Moving Beyond 10-week course. Tell us about that.
Right. So, because I have a full practice and I have a year-long wait list, I created a course which is based on the book Beyond the Label, but it's a deeper dive into the concepts that I talk about. So as I was mentioning, there's that physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual approach that I take, but the 10 steps that I use to help support patients are the foundation of health is diet, then sleep, exercise, managing stress. Then I look at your thoughts, your emotions, how you behave and react in the world, the environment from three perspectives, quality of the air, food, and water, concept of epigenetics versus genetics, concept of neuroplasticity, and then ultimately wrapping everything up in love, compassion, and spirituality. And so my course is, the 10 weeks is basically a lecture on each of those areas that I just mentioned. And
right.
So it's really for people who want to take that deeper dive and would like to work with me, but because of either, you know, physical location or just the fact that it takes a long time to get in, then you have access to it.
What's great about what you just said is you list so many things, and they definitely have a key factor into mental health. And maybe for some, there's some segments where that's not the issue, and then they'll get their aha moment. You mentioned sleep. It's like, oh, I never sleep. You know, it's always no. And then you focus on that specific. So, right, doesn't everybody have like a certain area you can tone in on that might be more vital to their needs?
Right.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Yeah. I don't think I understood your question. Did you ask me a question in that?
Yeah, so it's great because, you know, you're given this 10-week course, and maybe, you know, maybe diet's not really an issue for them. It might be more of emotional. So you're going to find that avenue for that particular person. But when they go through the whole course, they'll have some aha moments. Aha, that's why. No wonder. So it's not like one course that's just on diet. Maybe diet is a small point for somebody who's dealing with an abusive relationship or can't sleep at night, which is linked to depression. So it's great that you're covering all avenues, because if they go through this course, there's the answer. They're going to find it somewhere in one of those portals. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Tell me about exercise, meditation, acupuncture. Do you feel that this can help with depression? Does that improve with mental health?
You bet. I mean, I think, you know, again, for myself, I've really been on this quest to not only just to feel better, but to actually heal and to actually regain my mental health. And so I've used many different modalities. And so acupuncture has been a modality that I've used. But ultimately, for myself, it really has been learning how to manage my mind so that I'm not at the mercy of it. And that's where the idea of meditation, for a lot of people, that's a scary word. So I frame it in a concept called the 7 R's of working with our thoughts, our problematic thoughts. And then a lot of people are so engulfed by their thoughts that there's no separation between them and their mind. And it's really important to start questioning the thoughts that you're thinking. Because again, for myself, I wasn't even a glass half empty person. I was a who stole my glass and who stole my water person. And so I've had to train myself to be a glasses half full person. And that you can train your mind. It's like a muscle, but you have to do the work. And that, for me, this mental, emotional, spiritual side of the work that I do with my patients is ultimately, I think, how you get to healing.
That's such great information. The 1 minute we have left, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know about your book? Why do they need to get a copy right now?
I think everyone needs to get a copy because, listen, suicide is a silent epidemic that's going on right now, and no one's talking about it. I mean, we'll talk about it quickly when there's maybe a celebrity may unfortunately take their own life. But these conversations need to be happening every single day with our loved ones. And I just feel that this is something that we can change, that I can help people understand that by following the lessons and the steps that I talk about in the book, you will be able to regain your mental health. You don't have to suffer in silence. And I just, it breaks my heart when I hear that somebody has committed suicide, and I hear it on a daily basis. And so I just want our society to rise up and to start with the simplest thing, which really is the diet. And you know that as well. I mean, this doesn't need to be the way it is. So that's the message I really want people to.
So,
I want to be a beacon of hope, and I want people to shine the light. So
that's great. Well, you've definitely shined some light on some dark topic here today. So I want to thank you for joining us. It's such an important topic. It's affecting so many people, and some people they hide. They're dealing with something, and even their friends and family don't know it. So hopefully you've listened. You're listening, and if you need help, get out, reach out, get a copy of this Beyond the Label. You can go to, Beyond the Label, also the 10-week course to Emotional Wellbeing Integrative Mental Health Coaching Program. You can get all that information by going to drchristinabjorndal.com. And let me spell her last name for you. That's Bjorndal. And you can follow her on Instagram at Dr. Chris Bjorndal and on Twitter at Dr. Bjorndal. And for my daily health tweets, you can follow me on Twitter at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Health Radio Doc. If you heard something today, somebody suffering from depression, some suicidal feelings, just not up to par, you'd want them to get this information, send them a link to this podcast. They need to hear this. It's available to yourgoodhealthradio.com. Also at at RadioMD.com. And while you're there, peruse our podcast library and share these segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. Too important to keep yourself. Share this stuff. Great information. It's something you want to just get out there. And the more people that hear it, the more health we can bring and bring that beacon of light that she talked about to others. It's so important. You can subscribe to our podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.